I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let me into your window, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Brighton made history in the Manchester Derby this weekend. It's Friday, 27th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Eddie Brazel.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidusha Hantharaja.
Everybody, it's Friday, and what a Friday it is on the Football Ramble. My goodness, Andy Brassel, you've got a hoodie on, you big hoodlum.
Yep.
There's confirmation. Well, Brighton did beat Ajax 2-0 last night. They got their first ever win in Europe against the four-time European champions. That's how Brighton should and obviously will frame it. Of course, Ajax are crap at the moment, and they are managerless. But that's not the point, is it, though, Vish? This is a huge scalp for Brighton, their first win, of course. They got off to a sticky start against Athens a few weeks ago. Good point in Marseille. But this, despite Ajax's current predicament, is a marquee result.
Yeah. It's the same shirt. It's the same club name. I also like the fact that Mitoma was excellent and a few times did them with Cruyff turns. And it's like, how down are you that we're using your own intellectual property against you? Absolute mess of a club.
Yeah, indeed.
I think they lost a talismanic manager, Marcus, and they haven't been able to recover since.
I'd say so. A little bit of narrative, of course, Andy Brassel. This was the Chubba Akpom derby.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah?
Interesting.
He did have a very short loan spell in Brighton after I Googled him and found that out. He's there.
I mean, Ajax fans are quite enraged about that.
Yeah, it's not going well, is it?
No, but on the other hand, I think the fact that a lot of internet-y Ajax fans have been pinning it on him is a bit harsh because, I mean, he's got competition for the worst signing of this last summer. They spent a lot of money to get quite a lot worse.
Well, there we are. Well, one of the big takeaways of last night, of course, is that Brighton recorded the most passes and the most possession, 65% with the possession stats, of any Ajax opponent since Opta Records began in 2014.
That's amazing, isn't it? And I genuinely believe it doesn't matter how bad Ajax are at the moment. Like, this is the point, right? This is the whole point of this.
Yes.
That you want to see your team do well, have an amazing European night like this against a giant and just comfortably dick on them.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it was only 2-0, but I don't know if Brighton felt like it, but maybe could have been more. Maybe they didn't want to waste goals.
It was a
they
very
we might need them against better opposition in the Europa League.
It was a very comfortable victory.
I think the best bit was after the Ansu Fati goal, where you don't see it all the time, but when Roberto De Zerbi sees his team reach the pinnacle of De Zerbi ball, and he's like, yes, 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 and he's just going nuts. I love that. Where he's like, that is what we've been working for every day of the week for the past however many weeks.
Yeah, marvellous.
So it was a beautiful goal.
It was, and I mean, Lewis Dunk, we do love him, Vish, played a lovely through ball in the build-up to the first goal, and again, just shows you once more how far Brighton have come, because they nearly got blown off the face of the earth in the 90s, of course, yeah. A.K.A. out of the Football League.
Oh, I thought you meant like climate change.
Right.
Just because they're down there, aren't
rising
they?
Rising sea levels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bring your conspiracy theory bits to this table.
That's why I was confused. All right. You were probably talking about aliens, weren't you?
Yeah. Earlier on, you were saying none of that was happening.
Well, you likened Jim to the bloke from Men in Black a minute ago.
Oh, because he did the face.
He did the face. He wanted, sugar in water? Yeah.
But he gets
he's always ordering that.
Yeah, we didn't notice before. He gets it every week.
Despite what the dentist says. But back to the task in hand, Vish.
Yeah, we're talking about Lewis Dunk. Yeah, I suppose like a lot of the good things about Brighton, the foundations are still there. And I don't necessarily mean like with the owners and some of the backroom stuff, but someone like Lewis Dunk, even Pascal Gross, who they got when they got into the Premier League, have just continued on this upward trend. I think that's, I mean, we know this about...
How far are you going to go with this? Was Bobby Zamora in the crowd or something?
He might have been, yeah. But what we I suppose, now see a bit more, because it's written about a bit more, it's talked about a bit more, is that we should never judge players and by proxy clubs on a specific ceiling or regard them as having a set ceiling, as it were. Because no one would predict that Lewis Dunk would be, you know, playing, you know, midfield, cutting through balls from the back. Because no one has ever put him in the position to do that.
He's having
found
his
strength of his.
Yeah, he's having his Tony Adams under Arsene Wenger moment, isn't he?
Oh, that's
what he's having.
Oh, I tell you what, if they reach the final, Lewis Dunk, can you believe it? That would be quite something, wouldn't it? Oh, we all want that. Yeah, I mean, look, Ajax have not won in 9 games in all competitions. I was sacking their manager on Monday. What are they, second bottom in the Eredivisie?
Yeah. Yes, their worst start in history, isn't it?
It is absolutely ridiculous. The manager they sacked, by the way, demanded the club get rid of one of his coaches, who's now the caretaker coach. So there's a little mugging off there, of course. But
Henrique is Maduro, who used to play for Barcelona.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So for more on Ajax's current situation, do listen to yesterday's On the Continent, where all the gang discussed whether Ajax and Lyon are really too good or too big to be relegated.
Nope, they're not.
No, who is Andy? Who is?
Are Lyon too big to be relegated? I saw that.
I'll tell you who's too big.
You are absolutely in the mud. You are down pad. Imagine if Turkey get relegated.
That's been a bad year.
Yeah, I mean, too big to be relegated? Everton, it would assume. But anyway, more on them later. Last night, of course, Liverpool got a big 5-1 victory against Toulouse. We were talking about Darwin Nunez and his chaotic energy, of course, the other day. There was a lot of it on show at Anfield last night, Jim Campbell.
Yeah, oh my God. I mean, I've seen people insisting that actually it was an assist, that he deliberately ran into the goalkeeper, hit the post, and passed it to Ryan Gravenberch that way.
Talking
and I like to believe that.
Yeah, I mean, that's bollocks, of course. But the way he fell to his knees...
Yeah, when both rage and relief at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a player look like red in the face through embarrassment during a game before.
Do you think it was that bad?
Yeah, I think he was genuinely red in the face when he got up.
Right. But he did so well to get into that position.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
like the skip round the defender and the skip round the goalkeeper, elite.
Like, the drag back 99% of
players will never be able to do that.
Yeah, he would have known as soon as he ran at the goalkeeper. He's like, right, two things good. Oh, this is the one thing bad, isn't it?
I think it's
this is what it is.
Two out of three ain't bad. Yeah. Well,
the energy comes from mugging people off, doesn't he? So he's rounded the goalkeeper and he's done that bit. He's lost interest. Putting the ball in the net, just suddenly he's not thinking about it, forgets he's got to do it properly.
Yes.
Oop, hit the post.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to think of this just too much, but I do quite like the fact that they have a lot of, you know, really crisp technical players. They've got someone in Salah who's just a machine, and then they have this little ball of big ball of chaos.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, just go and be a bit mad. We'll do everything else on the side. Just, you know, if you end up falling off the face of the earth, which you want to do, we'll just wait for you to come back, but we'll sort it out. Don't worry about it.
It's true. I mean, look, again, it's an interesting one because, as an emailer pointed out the other day, what's good for the Ramble isn't necessarily good for your club. Is Liverpool good for Darwin Nunes, Andy? Bearing in mind, he's very good for us.
I think he'll end up being, much to our disappointment, mm-hmm. I mean the four of us in this room, he'll end up being one of the best players in the Premier League. I think it's that simple. He's just got so much ability, he will get there.
Yeah. He's only 24, right?
Yeah, and I think, exactly, Jim. And I think quite a good example, I was comparing him yesterday to Didier Drogba.
Yes,
actually.
I was going to say.
Drogba is a player who can look like the best player in the world or a Sunday player in the same game.
Yeah.
And eventually, probably 2.5 seasons in at Chelsea, he clicked. Mm. It took him a while. And I would say, I reckon Darwin Nunez will end this season with 20-plus goals.
This season? Yeah, this season.
Do you remember...
In all competitions, Andy?
Yeah, I'll take that. Just to be on the safe side.
I'm trying to help you out, Andy.
I know you are.
So what are you saying, Premier League? 20-plus goals in
maybe,
the Premier League?
But the
maybe.
Thing is, Marcus, he might get 9 of those in one game.
Yeah, that's true. Andy, let's be clear. Let's cut the crap. What is it? Where are these 20-plus goals going to come?
Give us dates. Give us oppositions.
All in the League Cup? No, where is it going to come? You could say in all competitions.
Yeah, I'd say that. Definitely 20 in all competitions.
Right, no, okay. Because the listeners will drill down on that, you see. I'm just saving you a bit of admin there. Interesting. Okay, well, yeah, as I say, good win for Brighton.
It's Mitrovic gate again, isn't it?
And well, we were right, though, Andy.
We were right.
So don't worry about that.
Just about.
Well, you're either right or wrong.
Like with Andros Townsend.
Exactly. Another one.
And climate change.
And Harry Kane. But yes, Brighton, good win. Liverpool, good win. Aston Villa, good win as well. 4-1 away from home against AZ, or AZ as some call them.
Admiral Alkmaar.
AZ versus AV. They were 4-0 up, were AV, after 56 minutes against the second place side in the Eredivisie. So this is not one of those crappy Dutch teams like Ajax. This is a proper sign.
You always have to check before you buy, don't you?
You do.
It's not crappy Ajax, is it?
They've both been managed by Louis van Gaal to very successful levels. But it's the sixth time that Aston Villa have scored 4 or more goals in a game this season. It shows you the scoring prowess that Unai Emery can produce or can make his players produce.
Absolutely. And particularly, you know, Leon Bailey had a really good game and he's kind of... People worried about him with Moussa Diaby coming in essentially in his position, but when he's been involved, he's been really, really good, and that is such an important part of maintaining this sort of form and this sort of free-flowing football, because it can fall off a cliff when legs get tired later on in the season. But it looks like he's keeping a lot of people happy. I believe that's Youri Tielemans' first goal for Villa, which he's needed, because he's taken a little bit of time to warm up.
He was unhappy.
We're starting to see that.
He was unhappy not playing a part in the midfield. I mean, that midfield is so tight, isn't it?
And also, if you play like him over the last couple of seasons, why are you turning up at Aston Villa going, I deserve to walk in the team?
Yeah, mate,
you just got relegated. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but so did James Maddison.
But he played well last season. That's the point.
That is the point, everybody.
Another lovely goal for Ollie Watkins as well, one that he took really, really calmly. Would have been easy to just slash at that. And I think, actually, in the form he's in, if he had, he probably would have scored anyway. But he took a touch, really calm one, took all the sting off the ball.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
Sad times, though, for Aberdeen. They were 2-0 up against Pelk, but conceded 3 goals in the last 25 minutes.
Oh, when they were 2-0 up, Pataudry was like properly rocking. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was properly 1983 sort of business.
I think, man, at 2-2 they were quite unlucky to not have a penalty as well. And then obviously they give one away down the other end.
The second goal,
which was about a centimetre and a half inside their penalty box, isn't it?
The second Pau goal was so bad, though.
Yeah.
Like the left back duffing up a header and then deflecting the ball in at the near post.
But come on, Vieirinha, 2016 Euro winner. He's played like 300 odd games for PAOK. He's like 400 years old and he's still scoring a late equaliser in the Conference League and celebrating it like it's a big deal.
That's impressive.
You've got to respect that.
If you're 400 years old, do you get 4 letters from the king?
Presumably, yeah.
From whichever monarch.
You're still here. Incredible, really. Was, though, that moment where the third PAOK goal went in, was it the saddest moment of the week in Scotland with regards to European football? Or was it when Brendan Rodgers was trying to get a handshake from Diego Simeone, who of course never shakes hands with the opposition manager at the end of the game, and Rodgers was just sort of hanging around there?
But I think in a situation where you've already set out your stall as someone who doesn't shake hands with people, if you then want to give someone a further snub, it becomes quite difficult. But Simeone managed that masterfully by not even looking at him.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I guess Brendan Rodgers, who like obviously likes to think that he's really cosmopolitan, has outed himself as not at all, because as you say, Diego Simeone never shakes hands, so why did he approach him?
But if it's Rodgers though, if anyone's going to change him, if anyone's going to bring that hand towards him, it's going to be brother Brendy.
You know, like Brendan Rodgers would see himself as, you know, a kin of Simeone, like, you know, their thick as thieves or whatever. When he gives him the half-hearted like handshake and goes down the tunnel, Rodgers gives the camera a glance, almost to be like, he's always like that. Yeah, you know what he's like.
Ugh. Yeah, we do.
We'll probably have a laugh about this later.
Oh man,
over that mate or whatever it's called, that little herb thing with the
coca
metal
de
straw.
Mate.
Yeah, whatever.
Mate de coca, rather. Dear.
He'd be one of those, wouldn't he? He'd say he loves it. He's never had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. Talking of other sad scenes in European football and the island of Britain, of course, Newcastle United got beaten by Borussia Dortmund in that sodden night at St James's Park, which yourself and Peter did a Ramble Reacts immediately afterwards. Vish, we thank you for that. It was a lovely listen. But Newcastle United can get back on the wagon away to Wolverhampton Wanderers back in the Premier League on Saturday at tea time. Of course, two future England managers are going to be duking it out, and Gary O'Neill and Eddie Howe. Big game this, Andy Brassel. Newcastle United, of course, they will be slightly disappointed that they didn't get a result against Dortmund, considering some of the chances. But these things can happen in the Champions League. How do they pick themselves up against Wolverhampton Wanderers?
If there is a moment where you're going to be weary and suffer from it in the Premier League, I feel like this is going to be it. Because that was really bloody hard work against Dortmund. Especially in the first half, they spent a lot of time chasing. And then you think about the fact that you have the injuries to Isak, Jacob Murphy is useful for the squad. They're clearly not at 100%. If you're Wolves, you're looking at this and licking your lips, I would say.
And I think as well that if they've got that equaliser, it kind of changes everything, you know. But you've got that, as you've just described, and then, of course, the stuff about the Vision Pete covered on Sandro Tonali, of course, who's now been officially banned from football for 10 months by the Italian Football Federation for breaching betting rules by gambling on matches, including some AC Milan games, when, of course, he is his former club. Now, it's also understood that he used illegal gambling websites in Italy, which, you know, obviously it's very problematic. We won't see Tonali in a Newcastle shirt until, what, August 2024, which is... flipping heck, you know, we're still in October. He'll also miss the Euros if Italy qualify. So it really is a difficult situation. Eddie Howe said last Friday, we will throw our arms around Sandro and protect him and try and give him the love and support he needs to find solutions to the problems he's had. So you mentioned Ivan Toney, of course. We've already got a situation that's currently going on in this country with regards to that. And Tonali is got an even bigger ban, I believe, of 10 months than Toney got.
Yeah, there's also something that was handed down to him whereby he has to attend... meetings, I suppose, around his addiction for 8 months after the, like, throughout the 8 months after the ban.
And but him and Fagioli basically both have to do community service.
Yeah, and they've got 16 public appearances or something. Yeah,
Italy as well.
Yes, exactly.
So I mean, that's a lot of disruption. Isn't
it's complicated.
It, if you're trying to settle into a new country, which it throws a huge spanner in that work as well. If you consider Tonali's, you know, personal life at this point, he's still learning a new language, still adjusting to a new city, a new league. Still accidentally booking tables in Wetherspoons. And he's now going to have to be back and forth between, you know, the UK and Italy with that situation.
They've looked into that, and the therapy is going to come to him a bit, so that's minimised.
Right.
So it looks like Newcastle are looking after him pretty well.
Which is good to hear.
Yeah.
Because as you say, the last thing you want is somebody who we're told is struggling with something just to be kicked to the curb.
Absolutely.
So get on with it yourself, pal, you know. So it's a great shame for him, of course, and Newcastle United. that this is happening. But hopefully, like we say, come August 2024, we'll see him again and he can pick up where he's left off, because he's done pretty well, you would say. And he played against Dortmund, of course, came on in that game. Before we move on from Newcastle and Dortmund, did you see that the Dortmund team bus received a £50 fine while parked up in Tynemouth? When they were in town, of course, £50.
Right. I've got to stop you here.
Here we go.
They parked, the coach driver parked across six parking spaces and he only gets one. Do you know how fucking difficult it is to get a parking space there?
Not that difficult. Is that why?
There's always European teams' buses parked everywhere.
Yeah.
Andy, you can't find one. He's found six.
Yeah. What's more for you, I think.
I think so.
That's why he's driving buses for one of Europe's top teams.
Yeah. Also,
and you're here.
If you want to step up to the big leagues driving a bigger vehicle, you need to buck your ideas up, young man.
Andy does drive a big vehicle, so he's practicing already.
Also,
why are they going down to get a calamari wrap, which is excellent, by the way, and chips?
That's why.
Crusoe's on match day. And then follow it up with an ice cream at DeMio's.
I know.
It's the Andy Carroll way.
Well, I know. They heard the show. They heard us talking about Andy Carroll. Well, let's try it.
Yeah. And it's worked.
Yeah.
Got themselves a victory. Yeah. Well, apparently, if they do respond in time, then it will only be £25. So,
right.
European football John Terry's.
Little tip.
That's what they are. I hope all the seagulls shat on your bus and nicked your chips.
Seriously, though, they will pay that fine in time. They're very frugal in Germany, aren't they?
Yeah, you'd expect so, Jim.
In the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
That's a season ticket in the Bundesliga.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Who do you fancy for this one, though, Andy? You think Wolves, don't you?
Yep. I think they've been quite improved of recently. And like I said, if there's a point where Newcastle are going to be weary. It's like we've seen with Brighton, really. They're in slightly different positions, aren't they? Because if Brighton take a bit of collateral damage in the league, which is their cost for having a good European run, and just, as Jim was saying, just enjoying the experience.
Yes.
Because for them, it was a dream draw, I think, to get into a group with these massive teams who are not that great at the moment and they're quite capable of beating, so they can maybe go further in the competition. Mm-hmm. For Newcastle, they don't want this to just be a one-off. The direction that the club's going in, they need to try and compete with it again, compete to get in there again. And I think especially with Tottenham having this revival, that makes it a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. I think it's tough for them.
Yeah, on the Wolves side of the ledger, how impressed have you been with Gary O'Neill, Vish? Because there were question marks over his head when he got the job, because obviously, you know, did a good job with
Bournemouth. Sims character.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit like that. Yeah. Indeed. When he got the job, people thought, well, okay, it's all very well at Bournemouth, but you're a bit of a firefighter there. It's a specific job and a specific...
Oh, you've got to start a fire.
Yeah, well, no sooner did he take the job, he was putting out fires at Wolves. Let's be clear about that. But, you know, I think basically, on his performance on Monday Night Football when he gave that tactical breakdown beating Manchester City, I think people are going, oh, this guy, actually, maybe we didn't give him the credit that perhaps he's deserving.
It's great PR, isn't it? Because obviously he's...
Television can do that. It still has power.
It does, yeah. Obviously, he was qualified enough to convince Wolves to give him the job.
Yeah.
And what he did at Bournemouth was quite impressive. But yeah, like the way he's turned it around, you know, the last few results have been quite positive. I think the other thing, I suppose, that he might end up firefighting again come January is that Pedro Neto is already saying he's not going to leave, which means he's probably going to leave.
Yes.
But he has been... Neto has been outstanding, actually. Yeah. I thought when Wolves sold Jota to Liverpool and then Neto, he was kind of like crossed over a little bit, but like when he was coming through, I just imagine, there's another one that I'll pluck off. But obviously they're kind of... They're a bit more insulated than that than certain other clubs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because of the owners and I suppose like the general situation at the club. Mm-hmm. But he's just been outstanding. I love the fact that he's a skillful but also has like the roadrunner thing. He's like, I'm just going to take the long way around.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's pretty direct. And also when you've got Matheus Cunha in there doing a similar thing, they're a really sort of useful duo. And the directness of them is pretty refreshing, actually, isn't it?
And well, you've got that and you've got Kolasinac, who's actually fit now, which is a big deal because he's a really good player when he's properly fit.
Will he get the goals, though? I mean, that's the thing with Wolves.
If he's fit, you're right. That is the nail on the head, Marcus, because that has been their problem for the last couple of seasons, putting the ball in the back of the net. If you've got Neto... If you've got Cunha, who's sort of, as Jim was describing, kind of cut-price Darwin Nunez, you know, he's brilliant to watch, but is he going to be a guarantee of goals? If he's starting to get on the goal trail, then great. I kind of think he needs to be the main man. That's his personality. He needs to be the centre of the team. And then you add Kalajdzic to that. All of a sudden, you've got goal options. That's something that Wolves hadn't had for a while.
I don't think Wolves need someone who's going to score 20 goals in a season. They'd love it, obviously, as everyone would, but I don't think they absolutely need it for what they're aiming for.
It's unlikely they would get it, though.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, you have to grow it yourself, don't you, basically? But essentially, at the start of the season, a lot of people were tipping Wolves to go down because we knew they had financial trouble. The situation with Lopetegui was difficult. They'd lost a lot of players. But actually, they've still got a pretty well-balanced squad with who they've brought in and the players that have been with them for a long time in the Premier League, have a lot of experience. And, I mean, their early form suggests they're going to be very, very comfortable, and they feel like they're on the up at the moment as well.
And they spent a bloody fortune last year, Jim. It's easy to overlook that. They didn't spend it in the summer because they spent it all in January last year.
Max Kilman as well is... Yeah. He was someone that were like also, you know, possessor of one of the best nicknames in the league in Kilmanjaro. Mm-hmm. But he's someone who, like, certainly when Wolves were going well, he was coming through, and there was clearly a bit more about him than simply just being a head on a stick style centre back. You know, he's good on the ball, he's quite strong.
Yeah.
The fact that he's captain now as well is quite big. And yeah, like, he's, I'm not saying England, don't want to do that to you, Marcus, but he's certainly someone who has a bright future.
Well, when Gary O'Neill's England manager.
Well, yeah, well, pick his favourites, wouldn't he? Like Gareth and Harry Maguire.
Right.
Speaking of heads on sticks.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're saying that. Well, we'll get to the Manchester derby in a bit. Good news, though, for Wolves fans is that Wolves will be hosting Chelsea on Christmas Eve. Hey, how about
utter
that?
Fucking bollocks.
Is it not a little Christmas treat from the Premier League? Don't you understand what they're doing?
It's absolutely...
You love football, you love Christmas, have them both at the same time.
It's absolutely, like, you know, part of the Premier League's remit to think people are spending time at home with their families.
Yeah.
Get a TV on.
Get out there. Yeah, it's the first match on Christmas Eve since 1995.
Famously, very easy to travel on Christmas Eve, and not many other people are travelling on trains and whatnot.
You know, it's the weekend, isn't it? That's how it's fallen this way. So, you know, how is it different from any other weekend?
Yeah.
Who's got anything on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Or whatever day it is. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like, you know, we constantly hear about the sort of the demands of the schedule on players and the demands of rearranged fixtures on fans, because it, you know, often involves like hotels being rebooked and all kinds of different things. And it's like they don't hear a single word that's ever said about it. There are so many complaints about this sort of thing are raised, that about how mistreated fans are, or sort of, you know, how little they're considered. Mm. And nothing changes. Like, no. I'm very confident that a thousand more shit decisions like this will come forward in future, because they genuinely do not seem to care.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we had a global pandemic, which meant no fans could go to football, and we all saw how crap it was without the fans.
Yeah.
That wasn't even five years ago. Do you know what I mean? And even if it would still be fresh in the memory. It was very recent, and not that we needed that, of course, but there you go, decision makers in the game. You had an enormous amount of evidence to show you how important the fans are. And then these kind of decisions, oh yeah, don't worry about that, that's gone, right, back to business.
Absolutely. Everything around the pandemic said the schedule needs a rethink.
Yeah.
And the authorities just carried on as if it wasn't happening.
To be fair, Andy, on that point, they have had a rethink.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the first time since 1995, since this match, so they have had a rethink.
Yes. Yeah.
Your Honour.
It's not like, it's not Brighton away at Newcastle, is it? But it's not insignificant, that trip for Chelsea fans.
Yeah, Wolverhampton, very easy to... I mean, will HS2 go to Wolverhampton by then? I don't know.
Not by Christmas Eve, it won't.
Not by Christmas Eve.
No.
Okay, it's time for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's mad how quick it changed.
Did it?
Yeah. So, like, for me to go in with Duncan, obviously Stubbsy, obviously all of them who I've grew up watching, and to then go and play with them, train with them every day and play with them, and then so quickly, I remember thinking, these are crap.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. I love that so much, so Wayne, Wayne Rooney talking about his time at Everton. It reminded me of that brilliant... footage, if you like, of Ian Wright when he's just talking to the camera, and he was talking about his time at Crystal Palace when he eventually gets the trial after many trials and tribulations in his own life, and he gets, you know, he goes from playing like just regular football like we would do. I think people think he was a non-league player and all that. He wasn't, and he goes and trains with the first team at Crystal Palace, and he just said, I couldn't believe how slow they were.
Why did he do a Michael Caine impression?
Oh, Crystal Palace. Oh, dear. Oh, Master Steve Bruce. So anyway.
I don't want to bury another centre-back.
Manchester United versus Manchester City, Sunday at 3:30. Will Manchester United win this one like they won the last league meeting between these two sides, 2-1 in January at Old Trafford? Vitush and Hantaraja, over to you.
I'm going to go with no. I'm going to start with no.
Gordon Bennett, the trepidation.
I'm going to start with no.
Why?
And then I'll work backwards.
Okay. Well, Pep Guardiola's Manchester derby record is pretty... mixed, actually. Won 10, lost 7, drew 2. I think that's just a surprising stat, Jim.
I think if you look at the context of some of those results, for example...
They always matter, though.
What, actually, they don't necessarily. When McTominay scored that worldie at Old Trafford, the league was basically done for Man City. You know, they'd already lost it. Uh-huh. If you consider also when Pogba turned it on for that game at the... Etihad Stadium.
Is there any other ways you can really sap the hope out of Manchester United?
No, it's
chances?
Not about sapping hope. Trust me, over the last few years, realism is Manchester United's best friend.
We can cover the rest of that as
sure,
well.
Sure, but do you just think Manchester United fans just shouldn't bother watching, is what you're saying?
I'm not saying you shouldn't bother watching. That's absolutely not what I'm saying, Marcus. I'm just saying that it's important to give context so that when they clip this up later, it's like, oh, look what this knobhead thinks. I'm looking after myself here, really.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just think if you look at United, how disjointed they are, this is...
So the 7 losses that Guardiola has suffered in the Manchester derby, none of them meant anything, you think?
It's not that none of them meant anything. I just think it's important when discussing this game not to look too much at history, because there was a period also when United were very successful.
There was.
Against Man City. I don't think... Well, they didn't play as much because Man City weren't in the same division. I don't think they should call upon that this weekend.
And I think the current level of clutching at straws at United is... something else.
Yeah.
You know, defining everything by like...
Look, if you keep that attitude up, we'll take your lunch to you in the corridor.
Yeah, that's true.
So careful.
Well, to throw in another stat there, Andy, which is perhaps more pressing, Erling Haaland, of course, got a brace midweek, which means he's been involved in 115 goals in his last 100 club appearances. Now, this is a new sort of wave of stat, isn't it? You're involved in goals.
Yes.
I want to hear about the goals. Just the goals. Give me the goals. And that's still impressive.
Yes.
You know. But Pep said, this guy will score goals all his life. But can Harry Maguire stop him?
Harry Maguire, who
a measured response here, not just the crappy ones you see on X.
You love everything on X.
Some great stuff on X.
There's some good stuff on X, to be fair.
Harry Maguire, who, of course, Manchester City wanted to sign before United actually
signed
him.
Thank you for reminding us, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, can Harry Maguire stop Erling Haaland? I mean, it sounds like a loaded question, but he's been in some good form. He's had his moments, hasn't he?
I see that's how you do it,
I think, you know, Vish, they're not an argument, and I appreciate why you don't want to examine this, because, you know, it's a horrible, daunting prospect when you play City. We all know all about that. But they have been breached a couple of times this season. They have not completely hit their all-conquering stride yet. United have, you know, there are some sort of green shoots, aren't there, with that imperious win over Copenhagen in the week. clean sheet at home. No, but joking aside, we were talking about that after the result and talking about how, though it wasn't the most impressive victory, obviously it was a victory. They got it over the line. A couple of big players had big moments. There's positivity. Mm. Also, it is a derby, mm-hmm. so things are naturally a little bit more unpredictable in that. If you look at Guardiola's
seventh
defeat...
Is it literally what you should have said, Vish?
I don't believe it. I mean, the one thing I will...
Never stopped you before.
The one thing I will say on the Maguire thing is that I think he's quite in quite an interesting spot at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because if you think of like how athletes always speak about us coming out of this particular, well, this kind of year-to-year of form that Maguire has, they always talk about like having nothing to lose, your back's against the wall. Yep. And they get to a moment where they kind of remember that this is supposed to be fun. And I think Maguire is in that space at the moment. Now, obviously, like when it comes to athletes in terms of nothing to lose, there's a degree of insulation there. Mm. And obviously, and also mitigating factors. So injuries are the reason that Harry Maguire is now starting again. But part of me thinks that, you know, why not? Like, what does he have to lose? I feel like he's playing a little bit more liberated now. He's starting to play past his first time instead of just being in his own head about his own form, really. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that is a thing in terms of his specific battle with Erling Haaland. He probably wakes up on the morning of the game and thinks, "Look, everyone thinks I'm going to get battered, but what have I got to lose here?" Mm-hmm. And maybe that'll help.
Everything if the ball gets knocked over the top.
To a point, but I don't think United are going to. United won't play like that. The only way. So you know, Jim talked about the times they were breached. If you think about the Wolves game. That relied a lot on pace. United don't have that much pace at all because
they can't use the Gary O'Neill template for this.
They can't, but they can't. Well, he put it on Sky, didn't we? So we could watch that.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say Ten Hag watched that for crying out loud. But the pace is a good point.
It's a huge factor. Yeah. And also Marcus Rashford, who is one of United's quicker players going forward,
stick him at the back.
But he's not in form.
No, he's not.
And you can say that the derby might bring something out of him, but. Really needs to be there from the off. Hoyland is an interesting one, though. He could be a difference maker. It's giving them something else to worry about. And at the very least, keep the ball so they don't have it.
Are you saying you don't need Haaland when you've got Hoyland at home?
Yes.
Is that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm saying exactly that.
That is the takeaway from what Vish was saying there.
To be fair to Marcus Rashford as well, he has been a streaky player throughout his career, but he is quite good for a big moment when you don't expect it from him as well, isn't he? And again, I think it has to be said every single time when we mention those blips that City have had recently, they are without Rodri, obviously, and Rodri is available now, and he makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, good job.
And United's midfield is a bit dysfunctional at the moment, isn't
it? It's
well?
Funny,
so Casemiro's coming back, which... Actually, I don't know.
Is that good? Yeah. Even so, his form hasn't been great, is it?
That's a good question. But what you were saying about Rodri, Jim, I went to City Brighton last weekend and it was quite interesting. After Rodri got a very needless booking, it was an incredible like murmur across the crowd, like, oh, shit. What if he gets booked again and misses the United game? So it is an absolutely massive deal. You know, they've come so far since they were incredibly well-funded yet over-reliant on Aguero. Whereas, funnily enough, they're edging towards being quite reliant on someone completely different, a player of a completely different profile.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think Rodri is the best in the world in that position. And it creates that situation when any team has someone who is the best in the world in their position. Like, Barcelona would worry without Messi. But it's like, well, look at everyone else. Like, should be fine. But so, you know, perhaps it's overthought. But yeah, we'll see.
Reports suggest that Manchester United are plotting a sensational move to bring David De Gea back to the club.
The thing I love about this is they signed a backup goalkeeper in the summer. Mm-hmm. Like, don't know about this fella.
I love it how they're plotting. It's like, he's your man. There's no need to plot. Just go and ask him.
Oh, we all know what this is.
Yeah.
Name me back, dear. Oh, it's going to cost you.
Well, the way the club's run at the moment, it wouldn't be surprised if he had.
But, he's been really unfortunate, De Gea, in that obviously he's an elite-level goalkeeper, and the elite-level teams who've needed a goalkeeper, like Bayern, he's just really not suited to them.
But I mean, he could go somewhere, but perhaps he just doesn't fancy it. I mean, you never know. He's settled where he is, and he thinks, well, I've achieved a lot, and got a few quid, whatever the reasons, but we do know.
I don't like the idea of him retiring. That would be really sad.
I don't like that. That would be really sad. But we don't know what's going on, of course, in his own head. But we do know that he's been hanging out with some of his former teammates. Bruno Fernandes shared a photo of himself, Victor Lindelof, Tom Heaton, love that Big Heats is in there, and Raphael Varane with David Hay, of course, on Saturday, having a coffee with the caption, "Coffee and friends, it's always a good choice." David De Gea replied, "Brothers," with a love heart emoji. Is it a good choice? Because I hate coffee.
Sometimes we go for coffee and you have something else.
That's true. And I do love my friends.
Exactly. You have a lovely time. It sounds like he's doing an advert for that coffee shop, though, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
Also, an advert for friends.
Yeah.
Look, although, if you haven't got any friends, I would recommend them.
There is precedent. Fernando Torres did an advert for his friend's dog training school in Spain, and it is like exactly as low budget as you'd expect, but Fernando Torres is in it. There is precedent.
It's like Anthony Modeste had his own coffee that he was hawking while he was at Köln, and the club got really pissed off with him because when he scored a goal, he went behind the goal and picked up a bag of the coffee and just... showed it about.
I set up a cafetiere. Hold on, 10 minutes.
With you in a moment. Well, of course, it's not all happy times for Manchester United players, because Jadon Sancho has not been able to have coffee or indeed lunch with any of his friends because his continued exile from the first team squad has been making a few headlines this week. It's been revealed that he's even banned from the canteen, so his lunch is brought to him in a lunchbox. This is actually quite sad, really.
As time goes by, I'm thinking this is not doing Erik ten Hag any good.
It's not serving anybody.
No, but I think it's especially like not doing good for Erik ten Hag. Mm. Because if I was someone who was coming in wanting to take over the football operation of the club, for example, if you don't fancy him, if he's not been any good for you, don't fall out with him. Keep him in Nick. He's a valuable asset. Yeah, yeah. You want to sell him. They have got him to the point where he is absolutely unsellable. Yeah. What they're going to have to do is, because Ten Hag wants rid of him and because the club, by extension, want rid of him, they are going to have to take pennies on the dollar to get rid of him. They're going to send him out on loan to Juventus or maybe Dortmund, do them a little favour or whatever. They're going to end up paying about 60% of his wages in order to reinflate him to a level where they only make a little bit of a loss rather than absolutely massive loss on him.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not doing anyone
anything. I think you've summed that situation up quite well there, Andy.
I don't know. I feel like... if you're a football fan in the 90s and you take away, you know, how horrible this situation is for Jadon Sancho, I do see the appeal of United behaving in that sort of manner. I thought I might get bored of it at some point, but no, it's just not happening.
More of the same.
When, sometimes a story runs long enough that you can have too much detail. So, the lunchbox side of it is like, it's just all quite unedifying anyway. Mm-hmm.
The lunchbox is quite infantilizing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes it sound like it's a United branded lunchbox. It's all right, have an apple and a little sandwich.
And that's it. The food that's in a lunchbox is hardly likely to be nice or nutritious.
Well, I don't know. You say that.
That's a big accusation.
A bit off topic here.
And damning for your own kids.
I used to steal chocolate bars from my house.
Well, thank goodness you said your house, you little
take them into lunch, because I was never really that happy with my packed lunch, and I would. this sounds worse now. I'm going to say it out loud. And I would trade them for bits of other people's lunches.
That doesn't sound that bad.
Is it entrepreneurial?
I thought so.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Was it dogs? I don't think you were
it was. It was a bit Manchester United now entrepreneurial. I was sitting in my own house and trading for bits of other people's lunch.
Is this what the Glazers are doing in the NFL or whatever they own?
No, the Glazers will come to my house and take my Kit Kat bars.
That's what I mean. No, they're taking Manchester United.
But actually, Vish, it's their house.
But to go back to being serious, one of the emerging nuggets within the story is Ten Hag's insistence that Sancho apologises to him face to face.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they have had meetings where Ten Hag has tried to explain, you know, his comments after Arsenal about his lack of pressing, his lack of effort in training and stuff like that. And so sometimes the apology comes with someone's behaviour rather than necessarily their words, with their actions rather. So like, if Sancho is willing to have those conversations with you, mm-hmm. is that, do you not already have an idea in your head of his contrition? Mm. Do you really need,
yeah, exactly.
do you really need him to say to you, I'm sorry, sir?
Yeah.
You know, as Jim said before, it's infantilizing it. It's also just a little bit of a man taking himself a bit too seriously, even though it's a very serious job and he's doing it in a very serious way. But
I think this has been blown up just way too. Yeah. It's been so badly managed. If Sancho, again, there could be a reason that we don't know. But from the information that we are given, this just looks so badly managed, as Andy were talking about it. But we must move on. Gentlemen, West Ham versus Everton is on Sunday at 1 p.m. West Ham's 17 match unbeaten run in Europe finally came to an end last night, losing 2-1 at Olympiacos. Olympiacos welcomed them with a huge tifo that read, "Tonight, you dine in hell."
Raises lots of questions, this, doesn't
it?
I don't know why hell would be catered.
Also,
would it be lunch boxes?
Are Olympiacos the waiters in this scenario?
It seems that way, doesn't it? Because as you pointed out when we were talking about this earlier, it comes from 300, doesn't it?
Well, there's a line Gerard Butler says that, you know, Spartans, tonight we dine in hell.
But that implies that they're going to go down to hell, beat everyone up, and then nick all their food. Tonight you dine in hell.
Well, yeah,
very
different. I mean, that line from Gerard Butler was, you know, spoilers, before they all died. So does Olympiacos expect to lose the game? Or West Ham? I suppose West Ham are going to lose it. Yeah.
So they
need to have a rethink.
The devil's the proprietor, but they're just running the restaurant.
I think so.
I mean, the food might be awful. Presumably, if there is a canteen in hell and you have to go to it, the food's horrible.
It's Greece. It's going to be really good, isn't it?
No.
Not the bit of hell under Greece.
Yeah.
You're thinking of above ground Greece. Yeah.
I was going to say it.
Also, like, what would they... So West Ham dining hell, by the way, we do need a tailback an hour and a half. But, you know, specials are on the ball.
Who knows? But West Ham lost the game. I quite enjoyed the first Olympiacos goal. It looked like a toe punt.
Proper toe punt.
Yeah.
As well, the type you haven't seen since you did one at school.
Exactly. It was a fantastic finish. It's a handy weapon if it can be utilised well.
Also, I can't believe Kostas Fortunis, who scored that goal, is only 32.
Yeah.
He's been playing for a very, very, very long time.
There's a bit of a Gerard Butler vibe about him.
Yeah, maybe, right?
Well, you have to make a deal with the devil if you want to work in his restaurant.
That's true. That is true. Just front of house so I can escape any time. Oh, as Meatloaf knows, it's not that easy. Bat out of hell. Great reference. But was it
great
better?
Reference.
Was it better than Lucas Paquetá's goal, Andy?
No, that was a banger. I totally wasted on the Europa League, really, if we're being honest.
A consolation goal, yeah, what a shame.
So it, certainly wasted on a consolation in a Europa League group match.
Yes,
yeah, frustrating as well, because, you know, West Ham rallied a bit at the end, but they were well beaten.
A bit of travel for West Ham, of course, getting back to old London town, but against Everton at home, you would expect them to be victorious, would you, Jim?
You'd think, but they've not done particularly well after the Europa League games this season, have they? So that might be a little bit of a sticky one for them.
And West Ham generally have defended very badly this season, which I think leaves them quite vulnerable in a game like this, especially with Everton starting to have some punch up front.
Are we expecting a Sean Dyche masterclass? We shall have to wait and see. Big news surrounding Everton, of course, as we've mentioned before, is that the Premier League have recommended a 12-point deduction as maximum punishment if Everton are found guilty of breaching financial rules. Now, Everton believe that they have complied with the rules, but this is something, I mean, there's obviously, they've had a bit of a rough time anyway, Everton, as seems to be the case every season. But this would be a particularly low point if they are found guilty, which, of course, they believe that they are not guilty.
Yeah, it would be potentially absolutely huge, wouldn't it? And it's interesting that it's the Premier League recommending it, which you would suggest is probably quite bad news for Everton. They're upset about this.
Well, they say it's a maximum
punishment.
Particularly
the timing of it as well.
They say maximum punishment, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Because maybe some people thought it could be worse.
Yeah, there would be presumably discretion within that based on the independent body that are dealing with this. But, I mean, it probably won't happen, right? It's only happened twice in Premier League history. Once was Portsmouth when they went into administration, and one was Middlesbrough when they couldn't fulfil a fixture, which actually, if you look at the details of it, is incredibly
But you
harsh.
Can't say it probably won't happen. Whether it'll be decided on whether they're guilty or not, whether it doesn't matter how
Indeed,
many times.
Indeed, why I bring that up, though, is that that is the most extreme result available to the panel, isn't it? So we don't know whether that will happen. Like I say, it's interesting that the Premier League themselves seem to be pushing for it. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll see. It's a horrible thing for them to have hanging over them.
Speaking of investigations, though, have you seen that FIFA have announced the closure of criminal proceedings against its president Gianni Infantino this week? Infantino said, "This is a full and clear victory for me, for the new FIFA, and for justice. It is now clear that the accusations against me were mere attempts by poor, envious and corrupt people to attack my reputation. Today, I feel a little bit innocent."
Today, I feel rich.
did you get the email with this statement? It felt like...
That goes into my spam, Andy.
It did feel like mad spam.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're like, I can't believe this is an official FIFA statement in this tone.
Yeah.
I can't believe what Gianni Infantino is saying about you. Click here. Yeah.
Well, it's a clear victory for justice and for him as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. It's... I can't sort of say what I want to say because it would...
Say it.
No, I can't.
Say it.
I wish the result had gone the other way.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I can't say that because I don't know, obviously. Look, so, this is the judicial
Marcus,
process.
Top three FIFA presidents.
Well, I can only think of a couple. And so we've got, I mean, I'd have Blatter above him.
Yeah.
So Stanley Rouse was FIFA president, was he?
He's currently dining in hell.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
So Stanley Rouse, was he FIFA president?
Yeah, he was.
João Avalanche, there you go. Yeah. I could only name three, but there, as long as he's not in there.
So if anyone wants some background on this, what it was actually about was the Swiss authorities had been investigating contact between Infantino and a guy called Michael Lauber, who was the Swiss Attorney General. But he resigned after a court concluded. He covered up a meeting with Infantino and lied to his supervisors while his office investigated corruption at FIFA, right? So Infantino has been found innocent of that, right? But it's fair to say it objectively looks like there is a case to answer there, right?
Yeah.
So Infantino, if he had anything about him, should welcome this attempt to, or welcome this opportunity to prove that wrong, to sort of, you know, demonstrate the transparency that FIFA are constantly saying they now have. But instead, he's acted like this absolute despot child. And it just seems so unserious, and it demonstrates the exact opposite of what they're claiming they're about now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say. And well said, Jim, well said. All right, everybody, it's time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your football accumulators this season with a 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, each of us will choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an Acca of four match odds 90 bets. Jim, you kick us off.
I do. And I'm sorry to say it, mate, but I'm going to go for Brighton to beat Fulham. I know Fulham did the double over Brighton last season, but they might eye a little bit of revenge.
That was last season with Mitrovic.
Well, indeed.
Andy?
Wolves to beat Newcastle United.
Oh!
Big Sasha is going to get involved. Like I said, I think Newcastle will be a little bit leg weary after this week.
I see. Vish?
I'm going, well, my game is the Manchester Derby, and I'm going for a Man City win, because if it comes through, charity wins, and if it doesn't, I win.
There we are. All right, Infantino. I'm going to go for Bournemouth to beat Burnley. So there we are in the Big B Derby. So to summarise that, Brighton are going to beat Fulham, Wolves are going to beat Newcastle, Man City are going to beat Manchester United, and Bournemouth are going to beat Burnley. I say going to because this is the weekend that we're going to get four out of four, everybody. A £10 bet with Betfair. On that returns £166.11. And if we win all that money, we'll go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, you can place a bet on their match odds 90 markets. Your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but that are then undone by some stoppage time drama won't be affected. That's the same for our Ramble Acca every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Right, it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It's Jack's Encyclopedia, and I'm on the ones and twos.
It's such a shame a great competitor like you is not playing.
It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll play Gary Neville's impression of Phil Neville at the beach, which will leave you 7 seconds.
That's such a great gag, Fish. Great gag.
Jim Storm to seize the lineal belt last week in controversial circumstances. We'll go from left to right. So, Marcus, your first category, the 20 teams that have been relegated the most times in English Football League history.
Oof.
20 teams that have been relegated the most times in English Football League history. Marcus, you're going first.
Norwich City.
Norwich City. In at 13. Andy Brassel.
Can I take Crystal Palace?
Yeah. You know what? You can take Crystal Palace, but I'm afraid
it's not
correct. Crystal Palace is wrong. Andy Brassel is wrong. Jim.
West Bromwich Albion?
Nice one.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Because it is. Number 20.
Number 20.
With 11 relegations.
11 of the buggers.
Marcus, it's a two-man game now, Marcus.
Wigan Athletic.
Wigan isn't. On the list.
Fulham?
Fulham.
I couldn't bear myself to say it.
And we still have a ball game. Fulham are not there.
Okay, so we have one last go, don't we?
You do have one last go. Each, Marcus, you're back in the game. Give me a name.
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
It was really enjoyable doing it after you said something. Go on.
Sunderland.
Sunderland.
Oh, surely.
You've called Sunderland. You've got Sunderland.
Yes.
Jim Campbell with a win. 11 relegations. Just to run through the full list of the ones you didn't get. Barnsley, this is just an alphabetical order, by the way. Barnsley, Birmingham City, Bolton Wanderers, Bristol City, Burnley, Cardiff City, Derby, Grimsby Town, Leicester City, Man City, Middlesbrough, Millwall, Notts County, Plymouth Argyle, Reading, Sheffield Wednesday, and Stoke City. The most relegations on that list, Grimsby Town, Birmingham City have 14. Mm-hmm. And then a few teams tied on 11.
Funny when you read all those teams out, you go, Man City are in there.
Yeah. Category two, Andy, you're going first here. The 15 managers who've made the best starts in Premier League history. That's 9 games after being appointed. So it doesn't have to necessarily be from the start of the season. It is the first 9 games after they were hired.
Could I take Ange Postecoglou?
You could.
You could. Sir, and you'll be correct, sir.
Can I take Josep Guardiola?
Josep Guardiola, you can have that as well. 20 points for the baldy bouncer. What have you got? What have you got?
I've surely got to go for Jose Mourinho, haven't I?
You do have to go for Jose Mourinho, and I'll tell you why, because it's correct. Mm-hmm. With 20 points from Chelsea in 04-05. Antonius Brassel.
From the start of a season.
When they were appointed.
The start of their appointment.
I know what you're doing.
Unai Emery.
Unai Emery is correct.
Well played.
Stop that. Unai Emery is correct.
Running the death.
Arsenal 21 points in the 2018-19 season. Jimbo.
I will go for then Chelsea manager Antonio Conte.
Antonius Conteus is. Rongo. He is
Rongo.
Not on that list. Marcus.
I'll go for Carlo Ancelotti then.
Carlo Ancelotti is on the list with 21 points in the 09-10 season
who I meant.
Chelsea. It's not who you said. Well, Andy Brassel.
Joe Kinnear.
Oh! What a lovely bench.
It's a lovely bench. It's bollocks, obviously. But, it's a lovely to hear his name. Anyway, so Marcus, you need this to win the point.
Can I win this with Tim Sherwood?
Can you win it with Tim Sherwood? I'll tell you what, you can.
Oh, what a flex.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, Timmy baby. I've never felt this so good ever.
Said his win record second to none. as you can imagine, a few Chelsea managers in there. Avram Grant.
Love that.
20 points in 07-08. Felipe Scolari, similarly, 20 points in 08-09. Frank Clark. Nottingham Forest, 94-95, 21 points. Gus Hiddink, another Chelsea manager. John Gregory at Villa. Maurizio Sarri, also a Chelsea manager. Mike Walker at Norwich, 22 points in 92-93. And Skeletor himself, Thomas Tuchel, with 21 points in Chelsea's 2021 season. Perfect. Right, one all between...
In Brentford's season. Tommy Frank, did you say?
Yeah, no, Thomas Tuchel.
I thought you said Thomas Frank for a minute.
He doesn't look like Skeletor.
No, he doesn't. That was very harsh.
So it's... one point to Marcus, one point to Jim. Andy, yet to get off the mark. And our last category, managers Wayne Rooney has played a game under at both club. And sorry to do this for Andy and Jim, but country as well. That includes caretakers. It does exclude youth team managers. And Jim, you are up first.
I'm going to go for David Moyes.
David Moyes is correct. Everton and Manchester United.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sir Alex Ferguson, you say. That's correct, obviously.
Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Sven-Göran Eriksson, yep.
Damn you, Andy.
Okay, so Roy Hodgson.
Roy Blundy Hodgson, that is correct.
Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho. Ooh, yep.
Fabio Capello.
Nice. Fabio Capello. Nice.
Ryan Giggs.
Oh,
oh, nice.
Good shout, Marcus.
Louis van Gaal.
Louis van Gaal's Rooney, yeah.
How many left?
You have, what is it, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 left.
Oh.
Roberto Martinez.
Roberto Martinez is incorrect, Andy. What a sham you've made of yourself in this game. Thank
Steve
God it's not me.
McLaren. McClazza.
Steve McLaren. Yes.
England. Gareth Southgate.
Correct. So, Jimbo.
Oh, this is a... Frank Lampard?
Oh, and it means Marcus has the chance to win it. Marcus Speller, you need this.
I do.
To take the game and the lineal belt from Jim's waist.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline.
Howard Wilkinson.
Howard Wilkinson is wrong, Jimbo. You're back in the game. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 answers left.
Marco Silva?
And Marcus has it back. Match point back in Marcus's hands. I don't know why I got emotional at the end there.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions
League. Ronald Koeman.
Spell.
Oh, here we go.
Ronald Koeman is correct.
Fortunately, when you said Marco Silva, it jumped my memory. Yeah.
Very surprised none of you got Ben Olsen at DC United.
Yeah.
More for you. Sam Allardyce at Everton and England.
Do you know couldn't remember that. I thought there's an England manager admission. I went for Wilkins because I thought, was it caretaker business? And in a way, it was.
That's right way to think about it. Stuart Pearce.
That was
England.
The other one I had.
That was the other one.
Yeah, and I thought, he wasn't given the reins for a full game, was he?
And the last one, Philip Cocu at Derby County. It's
that's
a lovely
where
little
going
category,
with Lampard,
that.
In case that sounded lovely deranged. Category. But it was, of course, wrong.
Oh, dear. Well, there we are, everybody.
Also, last one, which you could have...
Sorry.
We probably couldn't have got, because I don't know if it technically qualifies. When Rooney obviously played under himself.
Well, that would have been
controversial,
wouldn't it?
And it wouldn't have been allowed.
We wouldn't have needed it because this was a victory for me, it was a victory for FIFA, and it was a victory for justice. So thank you very much.
And Britain, I thought.
Definitely, always a victory for them. Us, should I say. Thus, ends the Football Ramble. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Edcast Creator Network. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Such a prick, Musk. Come on. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The keys are in the lock. The gate is open. Get yourselves out there. Get your pit ball on. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you,
Jim Campbell.
Thank you
for Dujan Antaraja.
Can I also quickly say that Marcus was the only person I used the Golgasm music on because I wanted to fluster him and he still won.
You used it on Andy as well.
Yeah, fine.
But you're right, I did win. Have a good one. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.